Well, it's exciting to be back home, I guess I could say, today. Yay. And those of you watching online, you should have been here. But nonetheless, you get to view it all anyway. It's interesting that these two occasions would come almost collision course, the Memorial Day and the Pentecostal Day. And I thought of the great sacrifice that was made for us by so many, and we forget. I, most of the time, and when I see a veteran, I take time to go out of my way, if it need be, to give thanks. I didn't have to go to the service. I don't know how that got overlooked, but it did. And but there are many, many, many who did. And I can't help but think of this time of Pentecost as the cost that was given for us that we might even embrace the thought of Jesus in our midst. It seems as though maybe it's age, I don't know. It's just that I'm at a time when this morning and last night when I was going through this, I was teary. So many times I just break down and cry. I'm not unhappy. I'm overwhelmed with what we've been entrusted with. I can't imagine what it was like for Jesus to give his life for us. I can't imagine the shame and the embarrassment, the pain, the agony that he endured that we might celebrate today. And I don't go into a meeting, whether it's large or small, it doesn't really matter. If two or more of us are together, then the Spirit of God is here, and that's the big deal. That is the big deal. And I prepared and I prepared and I prepared and I prepared, and then what the Lord does is said, you know, that's a lot of niceties, but could you say this instead? Or could you do something different instead? And people misinterpret it sometimes, because I have a testimony this long. And it's impacted with the evidence of the God's presence. It could be none other. Nothing else could have transformed or changed my life except the Spirit of God taking hold of me and lifting me out of the dark places that I was. I've been reading a book. It was called He Healed Them All. Now this really messed me up, because it gives indication that Jesus never gave disease as part of his personality or his character or his giftings to us. He was not the author of illness. He did not create illnesses. He created us to not have any infirmities or afflictions. So when we celebrate this time of year, it's not only a time, it's a daily thing to me. And my question is, there's so many things about the Holy Spirit that we don't know yet, that we even read and we talk about things, and in many places, he's not even allowed to be spoken of. And these are called Christian churches. Now, how can that be? How can that be? How can you call yourself a Christian and not have a foundation of the evidence of his reality in our lives, doing things that could not have happened otherwise? This was not just a freak journey that we've been on. This has been a journey of God's providence, promises, and faithfulness to keep us safe and going. I just finished reading the book, He Healed Them All. I went to the yard sale last week, and this book popped up. It said, "You smell like Jesus." I thought, whoa, what does that mean? Smell like Jesus. But do you remember a time when over here, was an aroma? I don't remember what the aroma was, but it was like some kind of delicious food or something. It smelled. It could be smelled as witnessed by not one, but many. And there was a couple other occasions, which I don't recall, but I remember they happened, when an aroma came. And what if you walked in a room and they said, they don't even see what's coming. They said, I'm smelling them coming. Well, of course, I had to buy the book. I'm about almost halfway through it. I haven't really spent a lot of time on it, but a little bit of time, because I wanted to know what it was going to introduce. This is the introduction to the book. Yesterday, I overheard a mom warn her daughter, "Now, just because a man goes to church, that doesn't make him a good man." Whoa, that's a stopper. I didn't like what she said, but I thought about it, and the mom is right. As a group of men who go to church are failing women, failing families, failing society at large. How many women and children have been hurt by church-going men who have mastered the art of debating their faith but failed to show the love of Jesus in the day-to-day life? I was one of those. I'm ashamed to say that. I was one of those. And then, of course, things have changed. Thank God for that. I realized that being a Christian isn't an easy thing. Too many times we take it lightly, like it really, it's just like join the local VFW or the Lions Club or some other club, and it's just like that. We wear it when it's convenient, and when it's not, it's nowhere around. We don't have to show it off. My daily devotional, I think I'll just read this because it's really good. You need more than the Holy Spirit, or more of the Holy Spirit. And my title today was, Where is Your Confidence? Where is your confidence? We talk about God as if he's really this big, fancy God, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we don't trust him. We don't trust him. When it's, and I have to be careful because, you know, illnesses come and people fight illnesses and you're not here to judge that. But most times, where do we go? First thing we do, we run to the doctor because that's all we know, right? That's what we've been taught. When you're sick, go to the doctor. What's the scripture say? When you're sick, go to the elders. Really? You mean you're going to run to church to find healing? Really? Are you going to do that? Why wouldn't we? If we believe that Christ is able to forgive our sins, is it not true that he's also our healer? Is that not part of the package he gave us? I liken it to, I just made sure that I was right. I've had this car 2 years almost to the date. About 3 months ago, I realized that there was a button on the dash. If I pushed the button, it recorded all my mileage. I didn't have to write anything down. I thought, that's amazing. I wonder how much more is in this car that I don't know what it is. A lot. A lot. Unfortunately, our spiritual journey is likewise. We get in this hookup thing with Christ. We get saved, and that's all we think we need to do. Oh, no, my goodness, that is only the beginning. There is so much more. And I was reading these books, and each one is causing me to think, what have I missed? What have I not yet seen? What is God extending my life to do? Is it just to live and say, I'm this old? No, there's things to be done. And I have not yet fully accomplished them, I'm sure. But I don't want to leave unfinished business. The devotional. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When you need to make a critical decision, you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you're in a battle or difficult situation and unsure what to say, just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. You know how many times I've stepped into a position like this? And all the things that I had written, which could include today, not even got touched. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is quite able to do what he intended to do. All he needs is someone to open their mouth and let the words that he puts there come out. I can truthfully say, I'm going to be 88. 50 years of that life have finally been in the place where God took control. I have done nothing that I can boast about on my own. All the things that have happened in my life, I cannot boast about and own them as if I did them. I haven't done a thing. That's been shown me about 3 months ago. Nothing in my life was by my achievement alone. It was only by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God moving mightily in my life. And I knew I had a helper, but I didn't really know all about it, and I still don't. There's still much more I need to learn, and I want to learn it because it's holding back part of what God's entrusted me with. I've been called to be a spokesman, not a prophet, not some big star, nothing like that at all, but a humble one who is able to say that my God has been so faithful, and where would I have been had it not been for him? What would have happened to me if it had not been for him? If he had not interrupted my life, I probably wouldn't be here. But God came, and he interrupted. Now I lost my place, of course. I have to read the thing again. When you find it hard to show love, the fruit of your spirit is love. When I got baptized, I didn't get baptized speaking in tongues. I didn't have anything really except God said, you love these peoples. Now, I always had an infatuation and a love of people, but it was not motivated for the right reasons and the right things. But when God moved in on me, he made me able to love the impossible to love. Can you imagine that? Why would he do such a thing? What kind of a testimony do we have of our faith if it's only selective? Only people you love to be with and you want to be with and you won't allow anybody else in. God looks at people and says, I love them. We had an incident that happened the other day. It was kind of cute. We had a little Amish couple stop by with a little child. I would say he's probably almost half a year old. You're maybe a year old, maybe. Anyway, very small. They're tiny people. They're small people. And they pull up with their buckboard in front of our house, and we had a recliner for sale. And they decided that they wanted to buy that recliner. Would I take cash or there'd be some other mode of payment? I said, cash will be fine. So they loaded it up onto their buckboard. Their horse pooped in the driveway and off they went. Now the evidence of their visit is still there. I haven't gotten it all. I took the big biscuits away, but I didn't get it all, okay? And then they left. And there was a little, some kind of an, I don't understand this, but I liked those kids immediately. They were, all of a sudden they were precious. I didn't even know their names, for crying out loud. And then the Lord said, give the money back. I thought, well, gee, I just bought a new, well, not new, but I just purchased a recliner. I paid $30 for it at a yard sale, and I was going to weasel that if I could. And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, be gracious. Don't bother bargaining. Just take it. So I took it. And I thought, wow, I only paid $5 for that new recliner. You're kidding me? There's something more to it than that. Yesterday, we delivered the money back to the couple. Now, it is pretty obvious they're very young, and she has this little child, and she's very pregnant again, and will be for many more, I'm sure. We get to their house, and oh my goodness, and I thought, this young couple has much more than I, much more than I. They really don't need this money. But was it really about the money? Or is there something yet to come? I'm believing there's something yet to come. I'm believing that in my life, there's something yet to come. I don't know exactly what it is, and I don't need to know. I just have to be available to say, give it back. It's not going to change your life. It's not enough money to make a rattle in your bills or nothing. It's just you'll spend it on coffee, for crying out loud. It'll be all drunk up and peed away, and where are you going to be? You know, none of that stuff. Nothing beneficial from it at all. But when I took it back, they wanted to stay for lunch. Well, we couldn't stay for lunch, but she said, we'll have dinner sometime. And they were really open. I don't know where God's going with this. But it's all about giving up what doesn't matter to gain what really matters. And that's the journey of our life, isn't it? Giving up things that we had no idea we even didn't need them anymore. And then giving them up, God didn't punish us for it. He blessed us with things that we didn't even know we needed. And all of a sudden, there's things that just come because God's here. He's here today. He's listening. Now, if I cannot find my way, the same is true of every fruit of the Spirit. Do you need to overcome an addiction? The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I'm not going to read any more of this. It's all really good. But it's all about what we give up and what we do and we don't do. And we forget that we did not just become Christians by virtue of an invitation. There's transformation. There's evidence of something happening. And I tell people this constantly. I can't boast about me. So you have to understand, what I'm talking about is what God has done and is now yet doing. When we read about the Holy Spirit, most people have no idea. It's a name. We, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some churches say it, but you'll never hear anything about him. He's a messy guy. Things happen that change the course of all kinds of things. And if you read the book of Acts, oh my goodness, is it ever evident there? In fact, let me do read a little bit of that. Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there they were all with one in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound like heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. Anything ever happened to you like that? Do you ever have an experience with the Holy Spirit? Is it something you came to be a Christian? You invited him to come, but you never witnessed anything that happened. I mean, it was like, where is he? What he was supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. He hadn't done anything. I mean, what benefit? Keep reading. Keep reading. It doesn't start with that. Some of us, when we went to Israel, we were up in the upper room. We were in the upper room. And I was asked to pray. I froze. I mean, what's a measly little guy like Pennsylvania coming here going to say in this sacred place? What are you going to say? And I was so worried about what I was going to say. But I was asked to pray. And so I began to open my mouth and depend on God. I have no idea what I said that day. I don't have a word of remembrance of it at all. But I can tell you this, I've never forgotten the event, the time, the place, the opportunity. I'm in that place even now. There's so many things I want to tell, and so many things I could tell, and so many things I've experienced, but boy, it'd be all morning talking about me. It would seem that way, but really what's to be gathered is the evidence of God moving in and through our lives. If you go on into Acts, oh my goodness, it gets better. It gets better. I mean, there's all kind of evidence of God working. People coming together, finding things that they owned, sold it and put it together so that all could enjoy the benefits of the fellowship, not just a few. And then there was the couple that promised that they gave all their money. They lied. They lied. You know, they could have said, we're going to give this much, but we're going to keep a certain amount for ourselves. If they'd have said that, I think it'd have been okay. But they gave the indication that they gave all. And both of them died within minutes of each other. And it really caused a bit of concern for the believers, as this Holy Spirit being a serious person, not just a thing, not just an it, but one who could be offended by lying and deceitfulness. Really? And then you bounce up to chapter 9. And I always like that chapter because it talks about the not the tax collector, the Roman centurion, and Cornelius. How did he ever get to be a Christian? Whatever caused him to beckon for Peter to come and share with them his story? But in verse 9, I believe it is, your prayers have made and alms have come up for a memorial before God. Even before we're Christians, God sees things about us that we have no idea that he's watching. And because of that, Cornelius invited Peter to come. And then what happened? Not only Cornelius, but his household, all of his servants, everyone in the presence of his house got saved, household salvation. They had prayer, and it was powerful prayer. And powerful prayer does powerful things. Peter was in prison. People were praying. And all of a sudden, God showed up and released Peter from the prison, took off his chains, took off his everything that was an obstacle, and out the door they go. And he gets to the house where they were praying. This is funny. The house they were praying, the young girl answers the door and says, Peter's here. And they said, no, it couldn't be Peter. It must be something else because he's in jail. I mean, why do we pray if we don't believe something's going to happen? Did you ever do that? I remember sitting at a coffin head not that many years ago. A young lady died in her sleep. And the husband sat there and he cried and he cried. And I said, God, can't you raise her up? Can't you raise her up? Why don't you raise her up? You know, something like that. It didn't happen. Could he have? Yeah, he could have. Why he chose not to, I don't know. It's not my business to know. It's just that God is still faithful, even in the times when it doesn't seem like he cares. And we go on to the time when Saul and Barnabas were in prison. Or, yeah, I'm paging through this right now. It's like they're in prison, and at midnight, and you can imagine these silly people. We don't even take time to petition God when things are serious and heavy. In the middle of the night, these guys start singing songs. Are you crazy? You guys ought to know that by tomorrow, the intention is you'll be dead. You don't need to sing songs about that. You don't need a mourning and confrontational stuff with God and all kinds of things you need to do. But it didn't seem to bother them at all. They kept singing. And then all of a sudden, there's a shaking of the earth. And all the prisoners are freed, but none left. The jailer was sure that his imminent death, because what something like that would be, you'll take the penalty, you'll be paying it with your life. You'll die. And he came and they said, don't do anything, we're all here. Everything's okay. And that night, the jailer repented, cleaned their wounds, fed them, and he and his house became Christians. Household salvation. Does it seem difficult? Absolutely. Out of order? Yes, because of what we think and feel, but it's more than that. The Holy Spirit has a lot of responsibilities to dwell in us and be in us, to teach us all things, to bring our remembrance what Jesus did, to testify of Jesus, to convict the world of sin because they did not believe in Jesus, to convict the world of righteousness because Jesus has gone to his Father and can be sure, be seen having, I can be seen no longer, to connect the world to judgment because the ruler of the world is judged, to guide disciples into all truth. Where would we be? Where would we be if it wouldn't be the worker, the Holy Spirit, that came and continues to dwell with us, and not only with us, in us? My personal testimonies can go on and on, but I'll tell you something. A little over a year and a half ago, my life was shaken. I believed that God was with us. I believed he loved us. There was no question in my heart about that. But what do you do when he manifests that love with his presence? What do you do then? What happens when all of a sudden the things that you believed as a little kid all of a sudden are changed and rearranged? I was going in for cancer. God was going in to free me of my childhood trauma and all the things that were essentially effective in the disconnect of my life. He gave me Isaiah 41, and it's a verse I can't disconnect from. It starts in verse 9, actually. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. That's 9. I have chosen you. We didn't come to Christ because of our good intentions, desires to grab hold of him so that he could be blessed by us in our presence and all display the splendor of our glory for the sake of God. Really? How putrid. How untrue. But then I was facing surgery, and I don't go into all that stuff, but there's a lot of background to this. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Do you know I went home after that vision, which happened, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks before I went in the hospital, something like that. I said, Sandra, something's wrong. I can't find fear. Sandra, something's wrong. There's no fear to be found, and I've searched for it because I know that I'm a fearful man, and I can't find it, what is happening to me. Fear not. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Guess what? In the vision, we're walking toward a hospital. He's holding my left hand, which requires his right hand. He was holding my right hand while we're walking, and he said, I'm going with you to the hospital. Now, I just thought he's going to drop me off, you know, one of those things. But no, he wasn't. And during surgery, when I was under, that's when the Spirit of God came, and he said, I've known you from the very beginning. I was there when you had minutes or seconds to live. You were a blue baby. Life was short. It was almost over. I spoke life into you that day. I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. I went through that surgery, which they tell me is impossible to go through it without pain. I'm here to tell you I had no pain, no evidence of pain. I was no longer afraid of the hospitals. I was no longer afraid of the doctor. In fact, I told the doctor, God chose you to be my physician, be careful. I did, and I prayed with him. And it was, I knew that was true. It wasn't like all of a sudden, Just relax. It'll be over in no time, and you'll get healed. It'll heal. It'll take care of itself, and you'll hardly remember this trip. No, I'll always remember that trip. I will always remember. They took part of my stomach out. The cancer was contained. It hadn't gone anyplace. There's no after treatments. They offered to do it because it would extend the possibilities of my life, and I thought, no, no, you don't understand. My life is not in the hands of medicine or men. It's in the hand of God, and he will take care of us. He will keep his promise, whatever that is. There's more. It has not yet stopped. I want to tell you something. I am so overwhelmed with God's love that I can't imagine how to even embrace it, how to really express it, how to really portray it so that others will get caught in the idea that as much as he loved me, he loves you the same. He doesn't love one people, just one guy, this guy, that guy. No, no, no. You were given it when you were made in that secret place before you were entrusted to your mother's womb. God's love was there for you then because he created you. And he created you with a purpose, intentional purpose, of doing things that would honor and glorify God. So now the things I'm asking myself, what have I yet undone? It's not like he's saying, you really messed up big time because you didn't do enough. No, that's not it. Every day I get this exposure to something, almost every day at least, to something new and different that God is presenting in the way of people, and I get a chance to talk to them, and I'm not religious about it. I don't want to get to the place of where if I show them this scripture, that'll save them. If I do this, that'll, and yet you can't be void of it. You need a foundation. What your foundation was without Christ is insufficient. But what he's entrusted to you and what he's given in you to do in the helping of bringing others into the kingdom, it's there. It's not changing. That's his desire. One of the further parts of that scripture is, behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who are warring against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. But I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. No matter what we face, no matter what we face, he cares for you, and he wants to be more than just a name. He wants a relationship with you. He wants your relationship to be very personal and real. We can't talk about a God. I'm having this encounter with an old friend. They're in another denomination. They don't celebrate Christmas because it's satanic. They don't celebrate Easter because it's satanic. And I said, what do you celebrate? How can you call yourself a Christian and not believe in God and his abilities? Well, the conversation's not yet over, but it's about to finish. We've had maybe four lengthy phone calls. And trying to convince me that what his people are believing is the right thing. And I thought, no, no way, nothing right about it at all. But if we have in the day that we're in, let me tell you what I think, which is not really worth much, but the things that I'm being impressed, maybe that'd be a better way of putting it. What happened in the book of Acts is getting ready, and it has been happening. It's not like God's been waiting for this time of his return. He's been preparing since the very onset. It's not a new thing, God's return, but it's current. It's next door. It's not long from now. And that's why I get concerned. What am I to do? How am I to act? Do you know, I went last Saturday, Sunday night, to a pastor's meeting up at Sunnybrook Ballroom. You know what? I'm getting to the place of where, geez, I don't want to do a whole lot of stuff. I got a lot of energy, but I'm selective of what I do, and we've gone through these things over and over again. Why would I bother going to another mental stage of my life and all that kind of stuff? Well, we went. And then we were glad we did, because where things took place that I knew meant you should be here. How many things has God asked us to do, but they really don't fit into our time frame? How many things has God been trying to convict us to take part in that will increase our awareness of his presence and his ever-present help and who he is? It's too much of a problem. You know, I've been there. It's not like I'm talking to somebody that's not been there. I've been there. Now I'm at the place of, Lord, a knowing full well that you're not finished with me, that there's things you yet want to achieve in and through my life, not as an evidence of my goodness and greatness. It's not about me at all. It's about being humble enough to say, Lord God, wherever you ask me to go, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to do, even though it doesn't fit into my schedule and I'm too tired. I remember when we were so tired from the rigors of life. It was nothing for us to work 60-hour weeks. That was not uncommon for us. And then to go to a Bible study that night when you're dead tired, we went. Guess what happened? God showed up. Things happened that there was no evidence or reason for it at all. And yet, because we were in the company of the believers, God released it or entrusted those things. He still wants to do that. He still wants to make us aware that, look, I'm at the place many would say, look, I've done all that I can do, all I need to do. There's nothing more I need to do. I just need to go home and get in my rocking chair, get my book or my TV program, and relax and enjoy life, whatever's left of it. Are you kidding? Who do you know, or when do you know it will be your last? What if God had something in mind and we were just too busy and we missed it? And there will be the story of the girls with the candles or the lanterns or whatever it was, the oil. And they, half of them had enough and half of them didn't, and half of them missed it. I came across, you know what? I had a song, didn't I? Why don't I do this song? Why don't I do that? I have this song that I've had this song for quite a long time and never got around to singing it. So I'll do the song because I think we've got a combination of things to do yet, and I want to make sure that I don't get long-winded and end up past lunch. Imagine that. It's called Healer of My Heart. You'll need to give me some volume on it. I'm new with it. God of light, take away the dark of night. Fill me with your pure delight. Touch me with your hand. God of grace, flow into this holy place. Listen as your children pray. Take me as I am. Healer of my heart, lover of my soul, maker of the stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole.
Savior of this world, my voice praises you alone. Healer of my heart, lover of my soul. Emmanuel, lead me to the deepest well, where never-ending love prevails, drinking from your cup. Prince of Peace, forever live inside of me, keeper of eternity, and revive me with your touch. Stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole. Savior of this world, my voice praises you alone. Healer of my heart, lover of my soul. Of the stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole. Savior of the world, my voice praises you and you alone. Healer of the heart, lover of my soul. Healer of my heart and lover of my soul. I had a tough time singing this last night. I just actually broke this out of the bunch of tapes that I had last night, and I couldn't help letting the emotions show. Nothing wrong with crying, especially when they're not unhappy tears or something. I can't make that happen. I can think so, but people have to testify or witness the fact that he's not the same that he used to be. He's not what he once was. And even now, in my transitional state, whatever God's going to do, I have no idea. But I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about dying. I'm concerned about not completing the work assigned me, not getting it done when he was counting on me. While I was in that surgery, and he spoke to me about being there in my life, he went to Jeremiah 1:5, and he told me before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. And he did not call me to be a prophet as he did to Jeremiah, but he called me to be a spokesman, one who will testify of his goodness and his faithfulness. And that's what I'm doing. I thought, okay, Lord, you know, I've been a rabbit trail thing anyway. I would start on something and it always end up about God the Father and the Holy Spirit and something. But if people, I wish we could be more lucrative and loose with our testimonies. God has done things and he's doing things and we fail to even testify about it. And we worry about people not being encouraged. Tell people your story. You want to tell them something? You want to bring people into the kingdom? Tell them your story. Don't get religious on them and don't start spewing scriptures on them. That's not what it's intended to do. You can't give somebody a scripture and they don't know what to do with it. It makes it worse. But if you don't have the foundation of scripture, you can't give it. You understand? It's like an oxymoron. People need to hear something that's going to encourage them other than, I'll pray for you, do all those nicety things, and leave a few scriptures. It's not making the scriptures insignificant, it's premature. Because once they get that connection, they will start asking and want to know, how did you do this? What caused you? Now you go into the real story. In our nation, I have never in my 80 some years ever seen a nation so messed up. I have never seen someone work so hard to make a nation great again and be so ridiculed. I have never seen so many people not have any idea of the truth. I've not seen anybody that is now all of a sudden desperate. Since the last weekend, was it? The nation was in prayer from the White House. Each week they're having these meetings now. It's happening in local churches. It's happening all over the place. That was what happened last Saturday night at Sunnybrook Ballroom. There was over 1,000 people there. They are wanting to make a difference. And the difference is, where is your confidence? Where is your confidence? Who are you confident in? Who are you sure of? And hasn't he done enough to prove himself that we should not be filled with doubt? Now, I want to do one more thing. I did this one time before. I'm asking them to play a song, Bob, that song I gave you. But I want you to do this. I don't want you to be entertained by the song. I would venture to say that every one of us have things unfinished. And they've not been that pressing, but do we really believe that we're limited in time? Do we really want to take the risk of not doing those things? I'll tell you something that happened to me. We went to see that film.
Great Awakening.
That wasn't the one. It was about Ivana Trump. I knew she was a believer, but I wanted to get some background, so we went to see the movie. Guess what happened to me? I had a new appreciation for my wife. You know, we can say nice things and do nice things, but really, Sandy's one of those gals who doesn't mind being told she's pretty. And she doesn't mind me saying to you, you matter to me. She doesn't mind being made aware that I'm only half the picture, she completes it. Do you know what I mean? And I'm kind of a klutz at doing things at times, but when the Holy Spirit starts prompting me, I start reacting, and it's sort of interesting how unable we seem to be to communicate the right things. So I am a very fortunate man. Not only do I have the Holy Spirit who keeps awakening me, but he helps me to appreciate the people around me that help to make my life interesting and complete, like that young couple. I don't know where that's going, but it sure is interesting and creates in me an awareness that there's many things yet to do, and they're not all getting up behind a pulpit and preaching. They're meeting the people on the streets, the people that are hurting, the people that no one wants to mess with. We just as soon pass them by, you understand that? And God says, I created them all. Love them and see what happens. Love them and see what happens. Now listen, this, I want you to be thinking about your own personal stuff and listen to this song. Don't just be entertained by the song. It'll mess you up. If you get the right idea that time is short and we don't know, don't waste time. Go ahead, Bob, if you would. Don't let things undone.
Tomorrow morning if you wake up and the sun does not appear, If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind. I will listen and I will be. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the future is unclear, I will be here. Just as sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for.
John 15:16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I make known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. O Lord God, there are many opportunities that we've walked by and we missed. We didn't even feel the unction or a nudge because we were so insensitive to what you want to do and how you want to touch someone's life to make a difference. So I'm praying, Lord, that the inspiration would be not the end of things, but what we need to do in the meantime. While we're waiting for that return, let us not be bystanders and not doing anything, not committing ourselves to get involved. Oh, Lord God, help us to be faithful so that those who potentially could be lost might find the opportunity for salvation and a relationship with you that changes everything, especially their entrance into eternity. So let this be a day like no other, where new beginnings, things that have been formed and shaped in us, we need to pay full attention to getting them done. And I'm thankful, Lord, for this day, for this privilege. May you always find faithfulness and faith amongst those who have called you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, I guess. And if you're streaming, the Holy Spirit is there urging you as well.